the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Like newborn infants, alleluia, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, alleluia. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Like newborn infants, alleluia, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, alleluia. Glory be to God on high.
And on earth his good will toward men. We praise thee, we worship thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O God, heavenly King, Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father,
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament for today, on this second Sunday of Easter, comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. The epistle for today comes from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the verse. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it on my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter is too big to limit to one Sunday a year, don't you think so? The church devotes 7 weeks to the Easter season. For this Sunday, the Sunday immediately following Easter, all three series, we have the three-year series and the one-year series for our readings, and also ours from the one-year series, prescribe this particular gospel reading from John 20. This text is important for its demonstration of the reality of the resurrection on two separate occasions, and satisfactorily so even to doubting Thomas. This scripture also includes the institution of the office of the keys, the power to forgive sins that is at the heart of the gospel. Christ chose Thomas along with the rest of the apostles as an official witness to his resurrection. This forgiveness of sins by Christ, then passed down to his apostles and priests, is the cause of our joy and the benefit of the resurrection of our Lord. For this reason, Easter is too big to limit to just one Sunday a year. Salvation has come, and we should carry this joy and its meanings in our lives to all areas of our lives, every day of our lives. The first reading from Ezekiel shows God's plan for the resurrection of all of his people. The second reading records the inspired words of the Apostle John, whom Jesus loved, many years after Easter on the island of Patmos. In this epistle, through John, God reveals who his people are, those who believe in Jesus Christ, you and I. And because of that belief, we overcome the world. Thomas was a modern man, and for modern men, seeing is believing. I don't know how they thought about it in antiquity, but I certainly know that today, when we read the story of doubting Thomas, our sympathies generally lie with Thomas. The other disciples are spouting a crazy story. We have seen the Lord. Thomas says, or at least thinks, yeah, well, he was dead. I saw it. Why in the world should Thomas believe the accounts of a risen Jesus? It didn't make sense. Nobody rises from the dead. And yet today's text challenges us to reverse our normal way of thinking. Not seeing is believing, rather, believing is seeing. Or as Jesus himself said it, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But before we talk about what it means to believe while not seeing, let's consider why it's necessary in the first place. What's wrong with Thomas's attitude? Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I'll never believe it. What's wrong with insisting on seeing something before we accept it? In this life, and for this life, skepticism is often a good thing, right? If you're buying a car, or a home, or anything at all, it's a good idea to test the claims of the seller and see for yourself whether everything is on the up and up, right? Likewise, when it comes to politics, it's wise to listen to the various claims of the candidates and then think them through for yourself. Which candidate really makes sense? Anyway, seeing is believing is a good philosophy for life in this world, isn't it? But what happens when we apply it to the ultimate questions about the significance, the aim, and the meaning of our human lives? What do we see when we look for answers to questions like those? Well, when it comes to questions like those, we don't really see very well, do we? Consider Thomas. What was his situation during the week of doubt? It couldn't have been pleasant. A whole week, 7 days, went by. All of his friends were abuzz with the good news of Jesus' resurrection. His appearances. But Thomas stuck stubbornly to what he had seen. Jesus suffering. Jesus dead. And then Jesus buried. For a solid week, Thomas was holding on to death instead of the good news of life. And this is exactly our condition too, so many centuries later. If we, like Thomas, that first week of the first Easter, reject the resurrection, what are we left with? Only death. We live in a death-denying society. A lot of people don't die at home anymore. They die in a hospital or a nursing home. But no matter where they die, we turn the body over to a funeral director so that he can make the dead person look as lifelike as possible for viewing. Not at home, but in a church or in a funeral parlor. In most of history, and until relatively recently in this country, burial preparation was done by the dead person's loved ones. Funerals were from homes draped in black, and people wore mourning clothes for months thereafter. But we want to avoid death, avoid seeing it, dealing with it, or confronting it. We really cannot. In spite of all our best efforts, death is the ultimate reality for each one of us. And every human being knows that. The people who are dearest to us die, but so do complete strangers. Poor people die, but so do the rich, the famous and powerful, as well as the humble and ordinary. And oh yes, so will you and I. Our death is coming too, unavoidably, sooner or later, everybody dies. If we're honest and open about the meaning of human existence, on the basis of what we see anyway, that is death, we have to say, well, there just isn't any meaning. No meaning, no purpose, no significance, because it all ends in death. Not only will you cease to see whatever you've accomplished, whatever good you've done, but eventually, so will everybody else. They'll be dead too. So what good will anybody's anything do anybody? In our efforts to make sense of everything, we discover that it's all nonsense because of death. If seeing is believing, that is. If our hope and confidence are based only on what we experience, and what we ultimately experience is only death, then our lives are pointless. It doesn't matter who we are, what we do, it all ends the same way, dead. Sadly, very sadly, many people have only that view. Unless there is something more to human existence than what we see. Or to put it another way, unless there is someone from outside of our experience who can make a difference in the face of death. And this brings us back to Easter. For there is someone who has made a difference, a radical difference in the human story. Someone for whom death was a reality, but not the reality. Someone who could deny death not just in appearance but in truth. That someone is Jesus Christ. And as Jesus told John in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." When death has done its worst, when Jesus was for sure dead, remember, they had pierced his side, they had hauled down his body, and they had put him in Joseph's tomb. But when all that was over, it still wasn't over. Because on the third day, he arose from the dead. He said no to death, and he meant it. In that single act of defiance, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, changed the lot and destiny of man. Not death, but now life has the last word. And with the gift of life comes everything else that makes life worth living. Consider again what it is we see in ourselves, as well as others the weaknesses, the faults, the failures, what the Bible calls sin, and declares to be the cause of death. We see our own helplessness, don't we? No matter how hard we try, we cannot measure up to God's law. And let's face it, we usually don't try very hard. So we end up living in a world that is filled with sin and its consequences. Not only out there, but here in our own hearts and lives. And so we deserve the death and hell that God threatens against sinners. But the conquest of Jesus over death was also his victory over sin. For he, who had come to assume not only our nature, God became man, but also our burden, our obligation, our sin, and its punishment, and did so effectively and forever. He resisted every temptation the devil could throw at him. He suffered every punishment that God ever imposed. And then he arose from death, triumphant over it all. This great victory is what Christ now offers to us in his word through the power granted on Easter evening. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. No conditions, no strings attached, just forgiveness and all that follows. Eternal life, resurrection, it's all ours through faith. So, 8 days later, Jesus' disciples were inside again, and this time Thomas is with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." For those who believe this word, the word that Jesus is risen, that he forgives just as he forgave Thomas, everything is different. There is meaning and significance to our human existence. Our Lord's word of forgiveness to us is also a word for others. And we preach it. A world racked by sin and death is precisely where we spend our lives, in loving service to others for the sake of God who first loved us. Then when this life is over, we go right on living with God until the last day, when we rise again with glorified bodies just like Jesus. Then we will see with our eyes what, for now, we only believe. For now, believing is our seeing. But believing is also the way to seeing. The way to seeing Jesus with our eyes for all eternity. Now, this doesn't mean that we never experience anything bad, anything difficult, anything dangerous. No, our lives are filled with challenges, hurts, bereavements. That's what we still see with our eyes and feel with every measure of our senses. But in the midst of pain and sorrow and loss, there's a certain hope, that rests on the victory of Christ. For now, we see that simply by faith, believing is seeing. We don't yet see with our eyes, but where there is sin, Christ offers forgiveness. Where there is hurting, Christ offers hope. Where there is bereavement, Christ offers life. All this is sure and certain, for God is greater than our sight, just as Easter shows us. Death, our ultimate reality, was not his ultimate reality. And what he has obtained for us, for you, for me, seeing is believing. The attitude of doubting Thomas may be perfectly fine for buying a car or casting a vote. But when it comes to sin and forgiveness, death and life, man and God, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Believing comes first. For believing grasps hold of what is greater, indeed the greatest. It grasps hold of Christ, the risen and triumphant Lord, and joins Thomas, not in doubting, but in confessing, "My Lord and my God." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Welcome, everyone. A few more faces than first service this morning. I point you towards the little blue paper in your bulletin. I would only point out that you can find the time for Bible studies and so forth in the little blue sheet. And the picnic that's scheduled for next Saturday, April 13th, is the Lutheran Fellowship picnic for our District 11, and so everyone's invited. I understand that our choir is going to actually sing there for us. So mark that on your calendars, and if you had marked previously that April 14th, Redeemer's Potluck was scheduled, then it's postponed. So make note of that, okay? Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, the children of your church are born again to a living hope. Feed and nourish our faith, bring us through every trial, and lend strength and joy to our praises of the risen Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word, that all who hear may believe, and that believing they may live in righteousness and godliness until the day Christ returns as judge and Lord of all. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, remember those who are not in our presence today, including those who serve in the military. Riley Hatfield, Paul Hatfield, Hayden Hatfield, Paul Clark, and Will Winston. And also those who are away at college, Minnie Clay, Aiden Whitfield, Jacob Cooper, Kelsey Cooper, and Mia Allen. Faithful to your promises, keep them safe as they do their work and work all things in their lives to remind them of their need for your unending grace and steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those you have placed in authority in federal, state, and local governments. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor and to work for the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, as your son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst. Especially, Lord, we pray for George and for Bonnie, for Shirley, for Chris, for Elmer, Sugar, Janice, Taylor, Melissa, Gray, Bob, Meredith, James, George, Larry, Earl, Suzette, the Reverend Bob Simmons, Mallory, Mark, Hank Hollis, Jay, Tracy, Michelle, Carl, Karen, Jimmy, Tina, Ansley, Kevin, Ron, Jesse, Theo, Easton, Waylon, and Ryan. We pray also for our shut-ins, Alice Zortman and Woody and Cloise Day. We thank you for your mercy and for remembering your servants who are now recovering from illness. Especially, Lord, we thank you for Deborah and Melissa and Becca and Joyce and Mary, Mark, Eddie, Norma, Kim, and Suzette. Comfort those who mourn, Lord, especially Tatum and Rogers, Faust and Callies, Wilhelmina Todd, Bolton and Grace. With the blessed joy of Easter morning, Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you give the testimony of your spirit in the water and blood that poured from Christ's wounded side. Grant that having received this testimony in the water of baptism, we may also receive it in the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Supper, and so overcome the world by our faith in him. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, give us all things and good and beneficial to us and to our salvation, and keep us from all things harmful through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.